brothers and sisters, we're going to begin a journey through the Apostle Paul's repeated revelation in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And as we have been encouraged in heart through this precious gospel, we know that this revelation of in Christ that he's after is the fullness of us in Christ. Amen. The purpose, the power of grace's desire of Christ in us, the hope of glory. I thank God before that's spoken. The verses preceding that there in Colossians chapter 1. That's the very mystery. That's the revelation that was given to Paul that was hidden. That mystery that was revealed. That to the perfect man, that complete one, in the fullness and stature, measure, the readiness of like him, ready to reign. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, he's everything in us, isn't he? Amen, he is. And what the fullness of Christ in us can be, praise God, with a body like unto his own someday. So let's go ahead and start tonight in Ephesians, in chapter 4. And we'll begin reading from verse 10. Now it says there, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. And why? That he might fill all things. Now look at what is included in these all things and really what he's after here. That he might fill all things, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. So you can understand that all that perfection and measure and stature and fullness of Christ is for us to grow up and to be mature and to operate, praise God, and be alive in the fullness of the mature Son of God that he intends every child of God to be. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. It's amazing the emphasis right after a child. What a example of that is. Maybe the greatest example, listening to other winds of doctrine. Know this. And if this is you, accept it. And if this is you, it's not an insult. It's a favor. It's an encouragement. It's grace that God gives to his vessels to encourage in love. Stop it. Watch it. What you hear. And who does this? The sleight of men. Cunning craftiness. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Instead, speaking truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's hard to stop reading there, isn't it? Now, notice as we began here in verse 11. Vessels to preach and teach one thing. Amen? That's the all in all. That's going to fill this. He's the fulfillment. He fulfilled it all. But that completion of what the Word of God can be, that wonderful revelation that was given to Paul, he's wanting and waiting for that bride. And what is going to fill her? What is that going to be full of? It comes through one thing, those vessels that teach and preach and speak truth in love. Isn't that something? There's no other way to get there. There's no other way for that to come forth without God's way. That's it. And he tells us this, and it's an encouragement to my heart because I thank the Lord that he's so direct. I don't have to guess about it. And he's talking about so much fullness and power and revelation in the word to us that would grow us up into him in all things. Did you hear that? I've heard people say, well, it grows you up unto him. No, it doesn't. It grows you up into him. You're in Christ. Don't go changing the word of God because you think it's more appropriate to say that way. You'll miss the intent of God's very heart. Understand the word. Understand what he's wanting and what he's done and the provision that he's made. But he's speaking to us, brothers and sisters, to grow up into him in all things. We're talking the fullness of the perfect and complete, the measure, the stature, the fullness of Jesus Christ himself. Amen. The fullness when we meet him, that we see him as he is. How do you see him? I see him as, by the grace of God, my bridegroom. Amen. Praise God as he calls me his joint heir. You're my joint heir. Because I know I'm his reward. I know by the grace of God, I've been studying about those magi for Sunday. And they were the only ones that met him with the treasure. They met him with treasure. Honor. Honor. You know, when you marry someone, you honor them. As he's honored me. All grace. All grace. But I thank the Lord for this. When I meet him to be in that readiness, maturity to fully reign, glorified together, amen. And praise God, do we really realize that's all been given? It's all there freely in Christ. In Christ. By grace, by knowledge, and by faith in love. Praise his name. Now, let's begin tonight in John chapter 17. In Jesus' sweet lips as he speaks these things to the Father, revealing the heart of the Godhead, setting the stage for the enormity of the love and desire for us with him and the Father. Let's go ahead and read John 17, and we'll begin verse 17 here. And Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them in the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. See, I don't just pray for these alone, meaning his disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And here we are. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast gavest me I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Praise the Lord. Verse 21 there we have, one in us. What a statement. Do you see that? Do you believe that? More importantly, do you live that? One in us, in Christ, in the Father, and what he's brought us into. And then in verse 23, he said, I in them, and thou in me, made perfect in one. That's power. I mean, that is power. Now, that provision is right there for every child of God. It's there. It's done. It's by the blood. It's done. But yet, we know that by the power of the Holy Ghost, then there's the power, praise God, to believe. I mean, power, as Jesus said to Peter. You'll have power once you receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, this is good. Now, the completeness in what he's done and the good pleasure of his will for us to grow in by faith. As I read this, I say, you know what? He's really after us to know, to receive and believe and live the standing that we have been brought into by the blood of the Lamb. We are one in the Godhead. And why? It says right here why we're one in the Godhead. It's because we are loved by the Father as he loves Christ. There's no difference. By the grace of God, really receive that in power, in encouragement. Because it's speaking truth in love. It's living that truth in love. That we grow up into him in all things. See, if that's not real and alive in me, that the Father loves me in the same extent, in the same passion, and with the same full backing and privilege that he loves Jesus, then I'm missing something. God's oneness is one. God says, when they say, I in them and thou in me and us in one and perfect in one and all these things about one, he's trying to really convey to us, get it. And yet, it's a rejoicing that he's having with the Father of what's been done. Isn't that beautiful? And here he was so sweet and so good to have us to partake in it because it is for us. You see? Praise the Lord. Now, there's no doubt of the purpose and the passion here of the Godhead who made us one in them. And that purpose and passion is that we share fully in all things that are in them. Yes. That's what he wants us to partake in. We don't even have families like this, most. I have one very sweet. My dad wanted me to partake in everything. I want my sons to partake in everything. And it's interesting, as a father, and you want your children to, as their children, and especially as their teenagers, they don't want to have any part of it. They just don't. Because they're rebellious. It's what it is. I'm going to go seek on my own. Well, it's not a good thing, whatever. And you get down as a parent and you pray. And you pray that there be this enlightening that, you know what? You'll never have anybody that's more for you. You won't. You'll never have anybody that is more for the best for you. Not saying I know everything for them, but at least truly to say and to pray, I'll do anything for you. You know what I'm saying? All right? This is God. And not only does he want that for us, he's already done that for us. See, he's not waiting to do it. It's done. Because it was all finished in Christ. And you're in. You're in. You don't try to get in. You're in. You're in him. And then he's in the Father. And we're one, as Jesus said, they're one in us. Huh? How beautiful that is. Oh my, what wondrous love is this. We are now the sons of God. So with that, let's go ahead now. Let's move right along, right into Paul's epistles. Paul's the vessel that is chosen of God, we know, to reveal the depth and the possibilities by faith into this full glory of us in Christ. Amen. And their possibilities, not something that's unrealistic, it's really our reality. Yes, it is. Well, you know, you could take like a great athlete. You could take like a Jordan. I got to go see with Brother Michael. We got to go see LeBron James last night. Had a good time with him. So here's, just think little LeBron James, all right? Amazing specimen. Incredible. Play all those games, never gets hurt. Maybe he does get hurt, but he still plays. Got a heart, got all these different things. But he had that DNA. It was all there. Little LeBron, little teeny LeBron, when he came out, it was all there. And all it had to be was developed to be this incredible, amazing talent. One of a kind. And that is not even worthy to be compared with the godly DNA that we've been born in Christ. It's all there. Nothing lacking. It's more assured than little LeBron growing up to big LeBron. And it truly is. And I'll tell you one thing. It don't grow old. And it'll never change. Praise his name. And I thank God for that. And God increase our faith to understand this. But let's go ahead. As we think about this, as we move into the Apostle Paul in Christ. Why is it the Apostle Paul in Christ we're moving into? Because in Christ appears 77 times. 77 times in the Word of God. All right? One time it appears in the book of Acts in Christ. And that's speaking of the Apostle Paul as he's testifying about Jesus. Very first time chronologically that you'll read the words in Christ right there in Acts. All right? Then the next 74 times, 74 times of the 77, you're going to find him in Paul's epistles. Two times you find him, then in Peter. Peter kind of listened to Paul right at the end, especially. He said, you know, yeah, it's Paul. Praise God. Hey, he's the only one that mentioned it two times after Paul. I'm good. You got a lot out of it, Peter. Because most never even understand it. But you think about that. 74 times. Number 70 is the number for reigning. And then number 4 is human weakness. Praise God. Amen. And then if you wanted to add the one from Acts, you got 75, you got reigning in grace. So either way, praise the Lord, it's on the mark. So, I believe it's very fitting as we go. Now Paul, the Word of God tells us, is the chief of sinners. Yet the chosen vessel to reveal this in Christ, like none other in the depths and desire of this oneness. Maybe it was easier for Paul, being the chief of sinners, to really say, I'm going to go with this in Christ thing. Because I know in Paul, it's just going to get messy. But in Christ, praise God, I've got something. Because I surely don't want to be found having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. I want that righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Once again, where was it? In Christ. Praise God. And we're going to find this all over the place. Sometimes you just don't really think about how beautiful in Christ is. And how beautiful us in Christ is amazing. But Paul's revelation of in Christ even will grow to bone of bone and flesh of flesh as a husband and a wife. Not just oneness in a body, but also oneness in thought, in mind, oneness of spirit, oneness of faith, oneness of love, and yes, oneness of the perfect will of God. Isn't that beautiful? And I thank the Lord to have that mind of the perfect will of God, because that perfect will, I know, is I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And praise God, I understand in the Holy Ghost connecting those dots in my life The full knowledge of the truth has to come through salvation. Going on into all truth, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And once I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I know then that there's that encouragement. Well, honey, there ain't no other gospel. So I best go right through and keep moving and go into Paul's epistles. And then, by the grace of God, oh my, how that, through the Holy Ghost, opens up all of the hidden mysteries that are all over the Word of God. All the things that the prophets wrote, praise God, so much encouragement to them, so much witness in different things, but yet, who did they write them for? They wrote them for us. The hidden things in there they wanted to look into, but yet it was a hidden mystery, and it wasn't for that age, it wasn't for that time. But yet to us, praise God, yea, even the deep things of God, by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. How sweet this comes forth. Now, as we go into this, even though the first in order of Paul's epistles, as you go in and start opening the Word of God, is Romans, we're going to start tonight with Galatians. Just a little verse in Galatians. Galatians, actually, they believe, is the very first epistle that was written chronologically by the Apostle Paul. I should say, by the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul. So, let's begin. I'm sure you're already there in the second chapter, aren't you? In verse 20. And let's just go ahead and read. 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this lays the foundation of the meaning of in Christ. Not only are we born of God, not only are we the sons of God, but it's Christ's life. It's Christ's very life that lives in me. And in that life that lives in me, praise God, and I love this as well, it's Christ's faith that believes in me. See, somehow we want to think, well, now, wait a second. I know Christ lives in me, but yet, you know, my faith that I have, that's something I have to do. Well, you died, I thought. See, I'm so thankful that if I understand the truth, you know where my dependency is? It's on Him. It's in Him. It's all on Him. Praise God, because His life lives in me. And I love how He says, prove me. Prove me. Over and over. Where I feel like I don't have any more faith. I never had any to begin with anyways. It's the life of Christ. It's got it. And that's why there's always that abounding hope when I get my eyes off what I see and then by the grace of God, understanding the eyes of truth and what is. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's a battle, isn't it? But the battle is the Lord's. The victory's already been won. But for me to reign in the victory always, it's got to be the Word. Because the life I now live, I live by how? By my reasoning? By my thinking? By, wait a second, I've got to figure this out? I live by the faith of the Son of God. We all have the same life. We all have the same life that lives. By one thing. Faith. Isn't that beautiful? So we can all come to it in a sense that we have different backgrounds, different experiences, different trials, all these different things. But we all have the same answer. We all have the same solution. We all have the same grace. We all have the same faith. We all have the same life. Isn't it beautiful? And we're one. We're one. That's why I pray we don't even say this to anybody anymore in that regard. Somebody come to you truly in love to give you encouragement. Don't say, well, you don't understand. Christ in me does. Christ in me does understand. And the word of his grace is the same answer, it's the same solution, and it's the same power. Amen. All right. So, here it is. The very life of Christ came into us at the moment of faith. Amen. The moment we accepted Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ came in to live in us. That life. His life is the only life each and every one of us has and lives in this life. Christ liveth in me and you. Now the question is how much will we let him live? That's kind of an odd thought, isn't it? It's the only life you got, but how much are you going to let that life live? And that is the truth. Now, that life lives by what? By growing in grace. Because for a life to live, it needs to grow. Yeah, especially a child, a baby. It's got to grow up. The only way a child of God can ever grow is grace. And grace in what? And in the knowledge. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And faith, praise God, which is in the word of God, but faith in the love of God that is for me. See, I can know things of the word of God, but then faith in the love of God. Remember how Jesus encouraged us in that oneness and why we're one? Because the Father loves us as he loves Christ. You think he ever forgets about Jesus? Jesus sitting right next to him. I'll assure you, he thinks of you just the same. Just the same. Please accept that, because that's the word of God. And that's this love that quickens the knowledge that we have. It's not just, well, I know the word and I can recite the word and I can tell you about bridal truth. When the love of God's alive in me, the bridal truth is quickened in my life. The new man lives that reigning now. That new man, by the grace of God, walks as David, and what he took, and he took it to the fullest. I walk with enlarged steps because he's enlarged them. Amen? I thank the Lord, and those are grace steps. Those are mercy steps. Those are steps, praise God, that only God could give us. Only the Holy Ghost can empower a life like that. But this will be our journey over the next weeks. And I pray that what this will bring is more comprehension and rejoicing with what is ours in him and him in us. And it was all in that new birth that everything was given. Nothing lacking, every provision of heaven. As it says in Ephesians 1:3, we are blessed. We have been blessed. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That's everything. Because the Father put everything in him. So we have all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That's where it all is. Praise the Lord. And in that, and that his life lives in us, then I have that. I have all of that. Praise God. Now, that's just it. Every child of God, you and me, we have it all. We have all this potential. We have all the full capacity to grow up into Christ fully, grow up into him in all things, by this grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, may we be fully aware to know this perfect will of God. See, it's vital, isn't it? Amen? And as Paul goes on to say, giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And I thank God I come into a place, you know what? The more earnest heed is given to those things which we have heard. And it's not just in a repetitive By the grace of God, it's alive. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, I thank the Lord. Lord, just shed more light on it. I'll always go back to that because it encouraged my heart like as much as anything ever did. I could hear Joshua tell me, there's more land to walk through. But I've seen it over and over because I've been around here a few years now. Cognizant, maybe, I don't know, two or three, I'm just teasing. Maybe 35 years, 40, seeing different things. Not judging, but understanding. And how quickly we can sit back after we've heard this beautiful message and fold our hands and an eye can slumber. Man, I'll tell you what. As a pastor, I counsel marriages. And those are the marriages I have to counsel. The hands have folded and the eye has slumbered. See, that's the Church of Ephesus. All those things, busy about it. Looks good. Yes, you're attractive to a lot of people that look at you, Christian. But yet I have one thing against you. You left the first love. God forbid that would be us. Need to be on fire with this stuff. Praise God, and it's amazing how he can fire you up. Now, we must grow by grace into this knowledge. Have to. We need to occupy as the kings that we were born to be. Since we're in Galatians, go over to chapter 4, verse 1. What's it say there? You know this verse very well. We need to occupy as the kings we were born to be. Amen? Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, look at that. An heir of God, as long as he is a child, what? Differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. That should wake every one of us up. Every one of us up. Now let's read through this. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. There's in Christ again, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, do you see what Christ has given? Hallelujah. He's given us. But see, without knowledge and growing fully into it, God's precious people occupy as what? As servants. If you talk to your brethren for very long that you'll meet along the way, you're going to hear, oh, servant, servant, service, servant, 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 service. God's precious people will always be duped into holding a palm. That's what the enemy will continue to fight every child of God. It's all he wants to do. He knows he cannot keep you out of heaven, but he wants to keep you from reigning. And that's the truth. And that's what he'll do. If he can get you to occupy as a Martha and not take the place of the worshipful Mary, he's won. And that's the truth. Fight. Fight. We're going to read about those wise men. You know what? They had a vision. You know what they wanted to do and what they went to do? Worship. Worship. draw nigh in fervent love to kiss, worship. Huh? Servants don't do that. What can I get you? Yeah. It's all right, you need them. But I don't want that to be you. I don't want that to be me. And more importantly, God doesn't want that to be us. And he tells us here, that's not what we are. Jesus Christ had to encourage his disciples there. I call you friends. You're my friends. If anything, he wanted to serve them. Oh, but we're going to be like you. And we're going to go out and do like you do. Jesus said, let me do in you. In you. All right. Now, God wants us to grow fully into the knowledge of what Christ has for us. Grow into the most pleasing place of the Father and the Savior. But yet, most reject that because they reject, praise God. And it is so sad. I praise the Lord because I know it's my hope. They reject the hope of glory. But you see, the Holy Ghost was given to reveal to us all the things of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Go on over to John 16. Wrapping up here tonight. But in John 16, verse 13, Jesus Christ says so clearly. I'll go to verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you. This is to his disciples. But ye cannot bear them now. You can't understand them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Isn't that beautiful? All the things of the Father are mine. And the Holy Ghost is going to take of mine. And he's going to show it unto you. Now, go back to chapter 14. And I want you to see this about the Holy Ghost and why this is so vital. Of where the Holy Ghost is going to show you these things. This is what's so beautiful. All right? Verse 16, Jesus says to him, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. And as we know, that comforter is interpreted in verse 26, the comforter is the Holy Ghost. All right? And I'll give you the Holy Ghost, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, the world can't receive the Holy Ghost. The world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know the Holy Ghost. See, every child of God knows the Holy Ghost. Knows him. Because the Holy Ghost had to deal with you to receive Christ as Savior. All right? And what does it say there? But you know him, for he dwelleth with you. And shall be in you. In you. So where in chapter 16, where is the Holy Ghost going to show you these things? In you. In you, in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? See, it's all, hallelujah, he's in me. He's in me, I'm in him, he's in me, we're in the Father. And all those things of the Father are mine. And I'm sending the Holy Ghost to show those things to you. But he's got to be in you, the Holy Ghost, to show you those things. That's just marvelous. So once again, that is, you're born Lord of all. But you have to be shown that. You have to be taught that. You have to have knowledge. Yeah. You take LeBron, and there he is, little LeBron again, could play basketball, and we know what he can do and all of that. But we put him up in Siberia somewhere, and somebody raised him, didn't even know about basketball or anything like that. And he grew up fishing. It's nice. But man, we would have sure missed a great basketball player. Do you get it? Do you get it? You can waste your life. But the way you don't waste your life is you grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And the power of all of that is you have that very life, see? You don't have any other life but that life. And that life is purposed for one thing, is to grow up into Him in all things. It wasn't a purpose to stay a child. It wasn't purpose to stay a teenager. It's purpose to fully grow up. And all He wants you to do by faith is to have the Holy Ghost to show you all the things. All the things. And here we go. We are seeing all the things. Because the Holy Ghost gives utterance of Paul's gospel. The gospel of the one who said, I have not withheld a thing. See, them things matter, don't they? And it better be all things, or it's not going to be fully mature, perfect, stature, measure, fullness of Christ. Amen. And brothers and sisters, it's all in us. And in Christ and His life, praise God, in us, we were rejoicing not too long ago, buried, raised, seated with Him, and even more to the extent of the Father's plan to be glorified together with His Son. Isn't that just amazing? I mean, exalted to that same glory with Him. But then when you really receive the very plan of God and how it's the life of His Son that's in us to grow up into Him in all things, well, that's the result. That's the result. You think about even Christ. They're born as a child, that little baby. That baby wasn't ready to be crucified at that moment. It had to grow up, showing us. Always very God of very God. Always the Lamb of God. Always the Savior, as Simeon held Him in his hands. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But yet for us, even the Lord Himself showed us there has to be growth. Has to come to that place of full maturity, ready to be offered. He was ready to be offered. Paul, what did he say? I'm ready to be offered. It's the same life. That wasn't Paul saying that. That was the life of Christ in Paul. I'm ready to be offered. Could Paul say, I finished my course? No. That was Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can finish that course. Christ in you. You think He wants to win? Do you think Christ in you wants to win? Come on. You can lie to yourself, but that's a lie. Christ and every child of God wants to win. And God help us, I'll tell you what, this power, hallelujah, it's not some power out there. It's in here. It's in here. Just as Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you'll be endued with power after you receive the Holy Ghost. You've always had the life, Peter, but now you're going to have the power. You're going to get about that life. You're going to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ in me who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Said this how many times tonight? You shall have power after the Holy Ghost is come, yes, upon you, but in you. By grace, may God really quicken the new man in us. Amen, brothers and sisters. There's power. Power. All power. Sitting there in each and every one of us. By the grace of God, let it be turned on fully. Fully. Not part way, but fully. And how did Jesus say that that happens? The word works effectually in. And see, there's in Christ again, isn't it? The word Christ. The word works like dynamite power effectually in them that believe. Amen. We'll be off into Romans, God willing, next Wednesday. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed.